Tonight, speaking with me, Brother James Dale. He's a minister of the Northside Church of Christ there in Phoenix, Arizona, coming from Ephesians chapter number 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16, united with the Father through Christ. And so tonight, if you all would give your attention and ears to our speaker, Brother James Dale. Brother James.
Pleasure to be here with everybody tonight. I want to start off by stating that I'm going to be speaking from Ephesians chapter 2, and this is a gospel meeting, and you might look at Ephesians chapter 2 and say, well, how does that apply for a gospel meeting, considering that Ephesians is written to Christians, those who already obeyed the gospel? Well, the reason I chose this passage is because I believe it tells us something about when we decide to become a disciple of Christ. When we choose to put on Christ in baptism, something takes place. Now, there's a lot of things that takes place, but specifically, it is only through our commitment to Christ in baptism that we are united with the Father. And if we want to be united with the Father and receive all the blessings that come from that unity, then it's only going to take place through Jesus. And that's why I'm going to be speaking from Ephesians chapter 2, is Paul writing to Christians, telling them, both Jew and Gentile at the time, that it's only through the Son that they have come together under this new covenant in Christ. They are united with the Father. Not only are they united with each other, now they are one new man, but they're united with the Father. And that's what we should all be seeking in our life, is to be united with the Father. With that said, I want to share a story with you. Most people are familiar with December 7th, 1941. That is a day that will live in infamy. Japan attacked Pearl Harbor. On that day, 2,300 Americans were killed. 4 years later, on August 6th in 1945, America dropped 2 atomic bombs on Japan, several days apart. And that attack, with some 120,000 people died, 80 in Hiroshima and 80,000 and 40,000 in Nagasaki. On September 2nd, 1945, Japan surrendered. You see, at one time, Japan and America were fierce enemies. Hundreds of thousands of lives were lost as these two countries fought. But today, it's a different story, isn't it? You know, when you look at America and look at Japan, we find out that we are great allies with one another, strongest of allies. I did a search one day to look and see how much business we do with each other. As of 2022, Toyota, Honda, and Mitsubishi generated $460 million in revenue in America. November of 2020, 6,702 Japanese companies had operations in the U.S. The 15 biggest Japanese companies with operations in the U.S. had a combined $1.5 trillion in revenue. You see, there was a time when we were fierce enemies, but now we're great allies. Well, there's another war that's taking place, and that is the war between Satan and God over our souls. That war began the day that Eve decided to take the fruit from the tree, the day that Adam gave up his responsibility as a leader. And ever since that day in the garden, war is raging, and countless numbers of souls are being lost. There was a time when they were united with the Father, was there not? But that changed because of sin. Romans chapter 5 and 10 tells us, if while we were sinners, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we should be saved by His life. See, Paul says in Romans that we're enemies of God before we're reconciled to Him through His Son. Being an enemy of God, there's a price to pay for that. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Because we're an enemy of God, because we're separated from God, spiritual death is a result. But God did something about it. In Romans chapter 5, He says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God provided a means for us, Father, to come back and be united with Him. And if we're seeking to be united with the Father, it's only going to take place through the Son. Unity with the Father happens through our accepting the cross of Christ, and only the cross of Christ. Over in Ephesians in chapter 2, verses 16 through 22, Paul talks of the disciples united with the Father in Christ. Now, I'm not going to read that whole passage right now because I'm going to be touching on as we go through this lesson. If you consider Ephesians chapter 2, 14 and 15, Paul stated that in Christ the barrier of the dividing wall was broken down as Jesus abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances. You see, Jesus' death on the cross provided the means for the Jew and the Gentile to come together. Yeah, they were fierce enemies. Yet because of what Jesus did on the cross, it was no longer Jew or Gentile. It was now Christian. These two could be bound together through the blood of Jesus, through accepting him as their Savior. Jesus' death on the cross also provided unity and peace between humanity and God. So not only do we see in Ephesians chapter 2 this idea that these two have been brought together, he says in verse 14, "For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, made both groups, Jew and Gentile, into one, abolishing in his flesh an enmity which the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace." What a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing for us to be at peace with Japan today. You can go to Japan and you can visit Japan and you can enjoy their culture. We buy their technology. We can be allies. That enmity that we had, that battle, that fierce hatred that once existed, doesn't exist anymore. And the hatred that the Jew and the Gentile had towards each other, it shouldn't exist anymore. At least it doesn't exist in Christ. Because now they see each other as brothers. And as Paul said in verse 15, he might make the two, Ephesians 2:15, he might make the two into one new man. What is that one new man? No longer Jew, no longer Gentile, but one in Christ, Christian, establishing peace. Now that peace also exists between us and God. And that's a beautiful thing, because if we want to have the hope of dwelling eternally with the Father, then we need to be united with the Father. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16, Paul refers to this as a reconciliation. He says, "And might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity." So he reconciled both the Jew and the Gentile to God through the cross itself. The Jew wasn't going to be reconciled to God without the Gentile, and the Gentile was not going to be reconciled without the Jew. They were going to be reconciled together in one body, the body of Christ, ultimately as members of the church of Christ. So that reconciliation brings us together and be at peace with one another. And don't you desire that? We look at our world today and we see so much hatred. We see just people destroying each other constantly. It's an ugly world out there. Satan is having a field day with us. But you see, God is offering us peace. Is he not? He's saying, come together at the cross. Meet me there through my Son, and I'll make you one with each other and one with me. You'll be united with me through the blood of my Son. If you go back up to Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3, Paul says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." You see, Paul says, you Gentiles, you lived away from God. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. But he doesn't leave the Jew out now, does he? Because he says in verse 3, among them we too, the we too are the Jews. He said, we lived in the lust of our flesh. We indulged in the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And he says, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. We all find ourselves, all have sinned, and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And so God seeks to reconcile us all back together to him. Those who will, those who desire, they can be reconciled back to the Father. In fact, in verses 4 through 6, he says, alrighty, but God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. See, God is a God of love, and he wants us to be with him. And so he sent his son to die on the cross so we can be reconciled to him. And though we may be condemned in our sins and trespasses through the blood of Jesus and our obedience to God's will, we come before him united with the Father. We're reconciled to him through the cross. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 17 and 18, he says, and he came and preached peace to you who were far away, that's the Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, that's the Jews. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Do you see how often he speaks of the oneness, the unity, the coming together? The two. We both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Come back to the Father. Be united to the Father through the Son. Whether you be Jew, whether you be Gentile. That is just anybody in the world. Come to the Father through the Son. And according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, the results of the work and message of Jesus are fourfold. He says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole body being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together. There you go again, built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So you Gentiles, you're no longer strangers and aliens. You are fellow citizens, and you are of God's household. No longer strangers and aliens. Well, back in Ephesians chapter 2, he told us that we were, that the Gentiles were, strangers. They were aliens. He says, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, speaking to the Gentiles, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. It's a simple message. Friends, it's a simple message. God wants us to be united with him. And he sent his son to do it. And he wants us to be united with each other. And it's only through the son that that's going to happen. That we truly have a bond that doesn't exist in this world. We lay aside hatred, anger. We have peace with one another. And most importantly, we have peace with the Father. And he says we're brought near by the blood of Christ. That's what does it, right? That's what does it. We are fellow citizens with the saints, he says. Fellow citizens. In Galatians chapter 3, 26 to 29, he says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs, according to the promise. You see, in the Son, once again, we find that God brings us together. No longer are we divided by race. No longer are we divided by covenants. Now we live under one covenant, and now we are one people. We are Christians under the new covenant that was established in the blood of Christ. That covenant that unites us with each other and with the Father. Because of that, we become part of God's household. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 14 and 15, Paul says, I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth, because we have come together in Christ. Because Jesus went to the cross and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, that which kept us separate. Because he abolished in his flesh that old covenant. He fulfilled the law. And having fulfilled the law, he brings in a new covenant. He establishes his church and all those that are drawn to him, who choose to commit their lives to him, they become part of that church, members of his body, that one body. And we are united with the Father and united with each other. It is a beautiful picture. I tell you, when you think about the world, what it looks like today, I know I've said this before, but it just weighs on me heavy to see so much anger that people have towards each other. Over what? Over what? Over how much money you make? Over what job you have? Over the color of your skin? Over your background? The way you were raised? The way you weren't raised? They faced those same problems in the first century, didn't they? It's nothing new. We didn't discover something new. Look, this has never happened before. No, it's always been this way, at least after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. But you see, we have a great message of hope, and it brings me joy. It brings me joy because I can be united with people from different backgrounds in different countries. You can be living in Japan and you're my brother in Christ if you are a brother in Christ. If you've obeyed the gospel, you're my brother. You can be living in the remotest parts of Africa. You can be living in China, or you can be living down the street from my house right now. And as long as you've obeyed the gospel, we are at peace with one another. And we are at peace with God. And both of those take place through the Son. So think about that again. As I started this lesson, I was bringing up the Pearl Harbor. There's some movies out there that really depict just how bad it really was, how much these two nations hated each other. Oh, and it's not just them. I mean, you can look at the Holocaust and see what happened there. It's been going on for the longest of time, that people just hate each other. They don't have the love of God in their life. But what a beautiful thing now to sit back and say, you know, some of my best friends are people from Japan. People that are Christian brethren. I baptized a young lady some months ago. She's from Japan, born and raised in Japan. But she's a sister in Christ now. Now, we weren't enemies when we met. We didn't have that fierce anger towards each other. That didn't exist. But what also didn't exist is the bond of unity in Christ, us sharing together as brothers and sisters in the Lord. But now we do. Now we're not just two people who know each other. We are united in the body of Christ. And so God extends that to us. He calls each and every one of us, come, become part of my body. Come and be united with me through the Son. That's a gospel message. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 and following, Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. Now think about that. God had a plan. And that plan was that he would reconcile us to him through his son. He would redeem us from our sins. And this was according to the kind intention of his will. And so he extends to you out there listening tonight that same gift. Become one with the Father. Unite yourself with the Father. You're not going to get there through doing a bunch of good deeds. Oh, look at all the great things I've done. I've given my money. I've done all these great things. No, that won't get you there. You only get there because of what Jesus did on the cross. Time and again, as you see through Ephesians, it's in Jesus. It's in what he did. It's in the cross. It's in his death. It's there that we find the means to be united with the Father. It's to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon us in the beloved. He says in verse 7 of Ephesians 1, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. Do you want to be united with the Father? I pray you do. That's the only way that we're going to spend eternity in God's heavenly abode, is to be united with the Father. The only way to get there is through the Son. Unite yourself with him. And when you consider the gospel message, when you consider what it means to obey the gospel, it's in that gospel that a union takes place. Paul speaks about this over in Romans in chapter 6. This idea that as we are baptized into Christ, we are being baptized into his death. There is a uniting of us with him so that we can be united with the Father whom he himself is united with. So that gospel message is a call for us to believe. Jesus tells us, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. We have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Make that same confession that Peter made. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked him, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter acknowledges, you are the Son of the living God. And upon that statement, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church on that fact. Fact, I am the Son of the living God. I'm going to build my church on that. He calls us to believe. He calls us to turn away from our sin and repentance. The repentance is not just saying you're sorry for something. You know, there's a lot of people sitting in jail who are sorry. They're sorry they got caught. But they haven't changed their lives. As soon as they get out, they go right back to doing what they were doing. Repentance involves a change of heart, a change of direction. It's a 180. You were heading down a road of sin, the path to hell. Now you've turned around and you're heading in a direction of God. You're walking in the light, 1 John 1:7, as he himself is in the light. You have fellowship with one another. You repent of your sins. You make that confession, acknowledging who Jesus is, your belief in him. And then you are baptized, buried with him. I'm going to read this to you. Romans chapter 6. The Paul says, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, oh, there's that unity, united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. You see, Paul says in our baptism, we are being united with Christ. We are being united with his death. We are being baptized into his death, that we can receive the forgiveness, the efficacy of his blood. What did God intend for Jesus' blood to do? To forgive us of our sins. Through our obedience to his will, to show our faith in him. That we believe that if we obey God, if we submit ourselves to his sovereign reign, that he will forgive us. And so we crucify that old self, he says. You go down that watery grave, you crucify your old self. You bury yourself. He says that in that watery grave, he who has died is freed from sin. I don't know why people question baptism as a part of salvation. Seems pretty simple to me. We come together, meet Jesus in the water. That's where the gift, the blood of Jesus is. Come here. Come to where I am. I have a gift for you. Come and get it. And if we want to be united with the Father, then we will go to where that gift is. We won't argue about it. We won't fuss about it. We won't deny it. We won't say that we don't need it. We won't say that we only need it after we've already been saved. You got to die before you can live in Christ. And you do that when you go down to that watery grave. And there God bestows upon you his forgiveness. And there, you're united with his Son, and then you're united with the Father. You see, that's why I want to preach on Ephesians in chapter 2. Yes, it's written to Christians. It's written to people that's already done that. They've already obeyed the gospel. He's just reminding them of what took place when they obeyed the gospel. Because I don't want them to lose sight of this. False teachers are going to come in and try to persuade them that they don't need Jesus. They don't need this new covenant. But he says the law didn't do it. The law didn't bring you to unity with the Father, not in the way that the blood of Jesus does, not through the forgiveness of sins that you have in the blood of Jesus. And so that's the gospel message tonight. Do you want to be united with the Father? Then you do it through the Son, and only the Son. So if you've got to obey the gospel, we want to extend that to you. An opportunity for you to believe, repent, confess, and yes, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. United with Christ, united with the Father. Become one of his disciples. And I pray tonight you will heed that message. You do not want to leave this earth not being united with the Father, especially when you know that God has offered you the means to do it through his Son. What a horrible thing to see the gift right there and never take hold of it. And on the day of judgment, as you stand before God, you know that the gift was right there before you and you just didn't take hold of it. I pray this night with all my heart that you take hold of that gift, unite yourself with the Father through the Son.